This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen on the air with another, well, actually three different things to focus on. Some news from the farming world that will affect you and impact all of us who are family farmers. We're going to then talk to an educator, a professional who has a very interesting spin on farming. And then my opinion about something going on in the world of agriculture. Starting off with news about milk prices, you know, with all the talk about the various dairy co-ops, Borden's going out of business as well, and Dean Foods doing the bankruptcy thing, and the whole reality of why milk is as bad as it is and unpopular as it is and all of that stuff. Well, for those of you who have stuck it out, I did not. I quit milking cows in 2015 because I just couldn't get any help, amongst other things. Milk prices are headed up, it seems. The outlook for dairy, the Class 3 price for milk, without all the bonuses that you get, it will be $1.20 to $1.30 higher than it was last year by the time we get it. Actually, the price has started going up now. It'll be interesting to see when we get the flush in the spring where the price actually goes. But even though there are fewer, maybe this will slow down the exit from the dairy farming business. I sure hope so, because it's so wonderful. Although I did read in one of the trades, I think it was American Agriculturalist, story about a farm in Pennsylvania. I think it was Pennsylvania, maybe been in Vermont. But the family had been milking cows for 170 years, and they were milking 150, 200. When this kid that was the focus of the article was a kid. He's not a kid anymore. He's in his 40s. But when he was a kid, they were milking 50 cows on his farm. And that's what I remember when I was a kid. We were milking 15. I was at 15, 16 in the Stanchion barn. And the old Surge milkers, man, was that. What a wonderful memory. I'm thinking of the Surge and the De Laval milkers that we used to use. Wow, that's gone. Well, although they're still making, those two companies are still making the product, but the stuff that you use to milk cows today, the robots and those big parlors and stuff, they come from the same companies. Wow, what a difference. So anyway, going from 15 cows to 50 cows, now his family's milking 1,500 cows. There are two in the family, the father and the son, and then the grandson is in it, and I think one of the granddaughters, and they've got four or five people that work for them. They harvest from 2,000 acres, grow their own corn and feed, basically, to milk the 1,500. But they don't have, you know, I guess what happens, and you see this, this is why some of these farms could sustain themselves, because especially the feed bunker farms are sustaining themselves because, you know, they can feed more cows in a big lot. That's how it works. Some of these, if you're milking 1,000, 1,500, you almost have to have a feed lot. Hard to pasture that many cows. You just can't do it, really. You get the feed for them. But let's keep our fingers crossed as to the price of milk going up for those who are still in it. Meanwhile, the big news of the week, you may literally choke on this, and I'm thinking, wow, what does this do to our agricultural future? There's a study that's out this week. The biological anthropologist at Wayne State University, Dr. Julie Lesnick, has looked ahead with her students to the year 2050 and what we will be eating at that time. One of the things that she focused on was whether we're going to have enough food, or whether we're able to grow enough food, whether we're going to have enough land to feed almost 10 billion people. In other words, in the next 30-some-odd years, the population of the planet will increase by 2 billion. It's taken us since, I think it was after World War I, to go up by 1 billion. And it's just the irresponsibility. I mean, this is a whole different can of worms that I'd get into if it were a different program. The irresponsibility of people with various religious backgrounds, people live in India, Mormons, whoever they are, the Hasidic Jews, they got to have 8 or 10 kids in their family. It's what they're doing is killing the planet. And they're so egotistic, they don't even get it. Anyway, that's not the point of this conversation. The point of it is to focus on what these people in their research found we were going to have to be, there will be stores, restaurants, instead of serving cheeseburgers, they'll be serving bugs. The plant-based burger alternatives, the way that we cook beef on a, you know, the grill or whatever, it's a fryer, whatever it is. So what's going on is that because there won't be enough animals like cattle around, so they'll be looking for crickets and bugs of all kinds, and you'll be consuming this sort of thing. I'm looking at a picture of this big plate of fried bugs. The UN's Food and Agriculture Organization is looking around. They're now starting in Africa to have cricket farms. So they'll be vertically farmed like fish are today, and a lot of other things, beef, I suppose. You know, you look at most of the stuff that's vertically farmed today. They still were going to have to obviously use water to clean stuff, but less water will be necessary to clean the bugs. So we're going to switch our diets. Those of you who expect to have a farm in 50 years of keeping the family, you better figure out how to grow crickets, because as the climate changes a little bit, they'll be able, you can graze them, I guess. That's what if you can believe that, you can graze crickets. And other things, alternative protein that comes from all kinds of bugs. Eating bats, that kind of stuff, that's foreseeable in the future according to the World Economic Forum. So they'll be replacing beef or just adding on to it with these alternative proteins that come from bugs. Not just crickets, but caterpillars eating that kind of, just imagine, it's so foreign to us. But you know, in other parts of the world, people eat a lot differently than we do. And they don't mind, the stuff you eat in China, if you ever go there, oof, and Asia in general, ugly. It's just plain, well, but they're used to it, so it's no big deal for them. Anyway, food for thought here. In a moment, we're going to talk to a professor who's got a great idea when it comes to farming. That's up next here on The American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen.
Hey guys, it's Mock and Daisy from the Chicks on the Right. We are bringing Common Sense back in podcast form.
It's the Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast.
Each week, we delve into the topics that get people riled up the most.
From parenting and our families to the dangers of political correctness, gun rights, and even sex robots.
Nothing is off limits.
We're just two moms, unfiltered, telling it like it is.
Find out more by going to our website, chicksontheright.com, or start listening to the Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast on your favorite podcast app.
Don't forget to subscribe, download, and leave us a review.
With your Mayo Clinic Radio Health Minute, I'm Jeff Olson. Not long after the cutting comes the crying.
The irritant can really be really strong and just make us cry pretty quickly.
Executive Chef Jen Welper says that irritant is actually part of the onion's built-in protection against predators. Chopping breaks up cells inside the onion and sets off a chain reaction that releases volatile chemicals. When those chemicals hit our eyes,
it activates our tear glands and then we cry.
Welper has heard about plenty of tricks to thwart the tears. Hold a piece of bread in your mouth. Wear goggles.
Rinse the onion under cold running water. Another one is to light a match and blow it out.
Welper says it all sounds like more work than it's worth.
Just cut the onion and get it over with.
She says you can reduce the amount of irritant that gets to your eyes by keeping your onion together as much as possible as you slice through it. And if you end up shedding a few tears,
sometimes it's really therapeutic to have a good cry. So just let it out.
For more information, talk with your healthcare provider or visit mayoclinic.org.
The most dangerous day for a newborn is her first day of life. Every 31 seconds, an infant dies from infections, pneumonia, malnutrition. But she doesn't have to die. For more than 60 years, Project Hope has been saving lives around the world, delivering medicines and supplies, giving newborns a healthy start, making sure her first day of life is not her last, because everyone deserves hope. To volunteer or learn more about Project Hope, visit projecthope.org/newborns.
The American Family Farmer, with a focus now on community education and farming. This is something that I have been on for a long time, but I think I was the sole voice for a while. We have Imani. I want you to help me, Imani, with this because I don't want to mispronounce your name.
Is Alubala?
Alubala. Okay, I think I got it now.
I'm a tester at the end.
Welcome. Okay, thank you. Welcome here. You're an advocate, and a lot of times people don't understand what advocates for good food are. Tell me about you and what you're doing at Soul Fire Farm.
Sure. Good morning. I'm really happy to be here with y'all today. I would say, I'm an advocate for food justice. I'm a part of the collective that is Soul Fire Farm, and we're committed to ending racism in the food system. And so that takes a lot of different forms. We grow food. We do a lot of community education, a lot of political, like, lobbying, organizing, and just really trying to go at this, like, systemic problem from many angles.
All right, so Lynn, you got me at the beginning because I think this is the first time I've ever thought, although I think racism, in terms of farming, current farming practices versus what used to be the case in our country 100 years ago when some black farmers had little plots of land and it was almost like feudalism. But what sort of racism exists in our food system today? Educate us, Imani, will you please?
Absolutely. Leah Penniman, one of our co-founders, wrote the book Farming While Black, and so it'll go into a lot more. And there's also a great article on Guest Magazine's website, Four Not So Easy Ways to End Racism in the Food System, that'll go into a lot more. But essentially, that history of stolen land, of stolen labor, is still just very much present today. And so you said, like, back a couple of years ago, folks mostly were relegated to sharecropping or tenant farming, where they owed the, like, owners of the land so much and very rarely had enough to take to market for themselves to sell or to develop any kind of wealth. It was just really a continuation of the slavery system that got this country rich in the first place. And then we know through, like, just decades of discrimination and different, like, segregating practices by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, black farmers used to own about 14% of the nation's farmland, maybe like at the height in the earlier 1900s, and now it's somewhere close to 1% of the nation's farmland.
So how did that happen? How did that happen, Imani? Explain, if you would, please, how that. I have an explanation for a certain segment of farming, but I'm interested, generally speaking, how the ownership of the land went from 14% to 1%.
Well, there are a lot of different reasons that happened. One that we're probably, like, more, like, familiar with are instances of white terrorism. And so just, like, folks really being targeted, land owners specifically for, quote-unquote, not staying in their place. And so that would take the form of folks' farms being destroyed, burned, having all types of, like, poisonous things either, like, fed directly into the soil or to, like, the non-human animals that they were keeping on farms. And so there are just countless instances of things like that happening. But really the number one reason is the USDA, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and, like, the way that we still have it nowadays. You know, we have all these county boards with different representatives of the USDA where folks are supposed to be able to go and get the kinds of supports that farmers might need, perhaps if there's a drought or some other kind of, like, just things that are affecting the agricultural climate. And consistently, black farmers were denied the kinds of supports that white farmers were given, and black farmers were denied the kind of supports that they were entitled to. So that might mean having their application thrown out or being laughed at, like being spat on, having things
We're back to the Civil War era, then, in essence, of what happened. It's not slavery per se, but it's a prejudice that has existed here in this country. I want to we'll go into it in more detail in a matter of moments. Stand by. We're continuing on The American Family Farmer. Let me see if I do this right again. Imani Alubala. Stand by. Continuing in a matter of moments here on The American Family Farm.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Continuing on this week's American Family Farmer, an unusual conversation. This is not where we usually go, but this is helpful, I think, for us to understand what's going on in areas of the country where there are a number of black farmers, and they're not getting the same treatment as a lot of white farmers. Amani Alugbala is here. She's a speaker from Soulfire Farm. You can go to their website, soulfirefarm.org. To get the essence of what they're trying to do in the community outreach department. We're talking about racism, and I made reference to what was going on and has gone on since the Civil War, especially down south, but it exists in other areas of the country. I don't know that it's been pointed out too much. What I know, Amani, about black farmers goes to World War II or the end of World War II. A lot of black farmers were growing hemp. And they helped in the war effort because hemp was very important in terms of clothing and rope and all the things that were needed. Hemp was a legal product. Hemp was a very important source of a lot of different things in our country. And after the war, a group of mostly Southern senators made it very difficult, actually impossible, for hemp farmers to continue. They made growing hemp illegal. And thus affected a lot of black farmers who were growing hemp. And that's where it stayed almost until, you know, the last few years when people started looking at it and see the benefits, all the benefits that come from hemp, mm-hmm. whether it's the rope or the clothing or the food or the CBD oil, whatever it is. So that's mm-hmm. an example, but I know it does exist. So, the situation of moving ahead, and trying to get things straightened out. Are you running up against a brick wall, or are you getting somewhere and fixing this problem?
Well, it's really a complicated problem that has, like, a lot of different legs to go about it. And so you were saying earlier, like, post-Civil War era, and what I was saying was, really, we're talking about the 1900s up until today. And so there's like a Human Rights Commission or Council, as a part of the U.S. government that did a bunch of research just showing that just even from the 60s up until today, all of those like discriminatory practices continue. And that's the reasons why we have seen this decline from 14% of the nation's farmland to 1%. And so recently, the USDA did put out information saying that that number was on the rise, but further examination showed how really numbers were really being conflated by considering like white women farmers, LGBTQ farmers, new farmers, and Black Indigenous and people of color farmers all together, which obviously you can be many of those things or you can be one of those things, but those groups are not interchangeable. And so while we have seen some gains in those numbers, we're actually not sure that there has been a lot of like actual shift. But folks are definitely talking about like different forms of reparations that would look like returning land not just to Black farmers who have been disadvantaged, but to Indigenous farmers and Indigenous people in general whose land is everywhere in this country, you know? So
who owns that land now? Who owns the land in question? Is it privately held or is it government held? Where there are a lot of government lands that are not being used, and they're going to have to be used for farming, whether we like it or not, as we go forward, because it's not going to be enough land. Is there some move to have some of this land owned by the government re-given or retaken back by some of the Black farmers?
I think what's happening is a lot of folks are figuring out things that they can do with individuals, folks who hold land privately. And I feel like there is like a conversation about what the government can do. But really, we're talking about what can we do for each other ourselves right now.
Yeah. I want to look to the solution here as we continue our conversation. Amani Olagbala, who is here on the American Family Farm with Doug Steffen at 28.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. You just put it on your finger and go. Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. That's right, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
800-932-1789. 800-932-1789. 800-932-1789. That's 800-932-1789.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Here's to the farmer, the plants, the fields, and the spring that turn from green to that harvest money.
The website for Soulfire Farm is soulfirefarm.org. A lot of resources there so you can educate yourself. I'm wondering, we have Imani Oleg Bala with us from Soulfire Farm. We're talking about what's happened in the past. And I would like to, now that we've overlooked, we've got an oversight of the problem, what we do to fix it. I think sometimes these things become political because they are political. I wonder whether one group, I guess I'd go back, there are a lot of people that are focusing on Trump and, what people who have that ideology, are doing or not doing, in terms of this. But I wonder what might have happened during the Obama years. Is that when all of this started? Imani, when did the focus on fixing the problem start?
Oh, I would say the focus of fixing the problem started as soon as the problem was identified. You know, just like folks were practicing like abolitionist things ever since the enslavement started. I feel like folks have always been trying to do things, whether that was creating co-ops and communities and farmers and like farmers and scholarship funds where folks could get the kinds of things that they needed that they weren't receiving from the federal government. People have been always doing that. But I would say like the more so, I don't know. I don't think it began with the Obama era necessarily, but I know a lot of folks have been working on it over the past couple of years because that's when I got into it. And I feel like just the national conversation right now in like politically is about what does reparations look like? How can we like support black farmers? There's like a couple of candidates who are like working, who have like Leah and a couple of other amazing farmers throughout the country have been offering like tweaks, suggestions, challenges for like current political candidates. And so there's a lot of different like avenues people can take to work on it. Some of it's political, and like some of it like involves like labor protections for farm workers. And
all right, well, I'd rather than be general, I'd rather be specific about this because I think that helps people if they want to take action know what to do. I think we can talk generally about the problem. I think we got that handled. But now I want to know, that now that you brought it to our attention, I want to know what we can do. Those of us who are farmers now, maybe that's a place for us to start. How we, if there is a way, I mean, I think a lot of times farm ownership is a treacherous realm to be in these days. Family farms are being pushed out by the huge conglomerates. And for me, it isn't the equity here, if that's what we're talking about, or the justice here. The focus ought to be on these huge, huge corporate, they aren't even farms, they're just big corporations that are growing food or milking cows or whatever it is. And I think you haven't mentioned them, but in my mind, they're part of the problem because they're pushing not just black farmers out, white farmers, they're pushing everybody out. And frankly, I think unless everybody works together, if there's sort of this stuff gets splintered, and when you get divided into smaller groups, the big people find it easier to push you around. So I wonder if there isn't some way to rectify this by going directly in a group that included small family farmers who were black and white, to whether you go to the government, whether you go to these big companies, and make it known that, you know, what's the old expression from the movie, I'm damn sick of it, I'm not going to take it anymore. You know, I think that's, you got to pound on the table.
True. And I don't think that that's anything, like, new, right? Like, so farmers of all backgrounds, ethnicities, races have worked together and recognized that there's this bigger system that's, like, doesn't have any of our is not out for any of our benefit. And so folks have, like, consistently lobbied together and worked together in a number of ways. I think it depends on how individuals want to go about the problem. We, on our website, we have, like, a list of action steps and, like, really kind of breaks down into seven different sections, one being about policy, two being about individual actions, three being about reparations, building alliances, changing internal, like, structures of organizations. Maybe that's not as relevant for farmers. One is about grant making and funding, and another is just about self-reflection and education. So really it depends on how folks want to go about it, you know. I imagine, like, folks listening in might be interested in, like, individual action steps that they could take. And so those things might look like putting skills to work to support, like, farmers or business owners of color, buying products, sharing whatever resources their business or organization, like, might have that might, like just supporting local other folks who might be having needs that we may or may not know about unless we reach out, creating good jobs and hiring folks who might be otherwise overlooked in the capitalist economy. Maybe like not just like folks of color, maybe formerly incarcerated people, folks who don't have documents, elders, folks with disabilities, and really like work like, and we were talking about like Trump in the current administration. I feel like folks working with other folks who may feel like their best interests are aligned with the current administration when in actuality there aren't. And so just supporting to raise consciousness amongst folks rather than like organizing for people of color, organizing people of color, uplifting black and brown expertise, ancestral and current. And there's like a bunch of like the Real Food Alliance and has a number of like just different like avenues that we can go about it. But local farmers, I think specifically, can join like the Domestic Fair Trade Association and seek food justice certification through the Agricultural Justice Project because they both uphold high standards for fair treatment of workers and care for the environment. And really just like getting educated, I think this is like many parts of the elephant to eat, right? And so you have to go about it.
There's going to be a group of people that want to get educated, but there's also the practical side of these people, whether they're black or white or whatever, working 12, 14, 15, 16 hour days most of the year and not having time to dig around in all of this. So I want to approach this from a different point of view in a matter of moments. We're continuing our discussion here on the American Family Farmer with Imani Al and Bala. The focus now for a moment, your credit card bills, no matter where you are, no matter what your business, no matter what your livelihood, no matter what your income, people in America outspend their income. That's what credit cards are all about. Let's face it. So most of us have credit card debt. There is a credit card debt hotline that exists today to help you learn how to reduce your payments and maybe cut them back. A fraction of what you owe may be all you have to pay. You'll find out the answers to your specific problems by calling 800-560-6760. That's the credit card debt hotline, 800-560-6760. Why have the uncomfortable sort of albatross around your neck if you can figure out a way around it that's responsible and the information when you get started is free? 800-560-6760. Again, that number for credit card debt hotline, 800-560-6760.
Freedom doesn't start in the White House. It starts in your house. Here's Helen Creeble.
Air Canada says it will no longer use the phrase ladies and gentlemen, just in case anybody might be offended. Its in-flight announcements will now address passengers as everyone. Many companies are joining the fad of eliminating all references to gender, a commitment to respect sexual identity, diversity, and inclusion, they say. But who exactly is offended by being called something nice? The company admits nobody has actually complained about it. They just want to avoid ever offending anyone in the future. Good luck. It is not possible to go through life without ever saying or thinking anything that could possibly offend someone. Americans need to lighten up. Political correctness is so out of control that it offends me. I'm not gender neutral. I'm female, and I love being called a lady.
For more, check out our podcast at lensofliberty.org.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America. Many fans dream of seeing football's biggest game of the year in person. If you're fortunate enough to have this experience, be sure you're maximizing your financial rewards for the trip of a lifetime. Travel expert Leah Bamante shares insider tips.
Booking travel for the big game can be expensive, with thousands of people headed to Miami. No matter which team you're rooting for, you can come out on top with the Bank of America Preferred Rewards Program. As a member, I always receive a rewards bonus when I use my Bank of America Premium Rewards credit card. This boosts the points I earn on all travel and dining purchases to an unlimited 3.5 points per dollar. Another helpful perk is the unlimited no-fee ATM transactions at all U.S. ATMs that I receive as a Preferred Rewards member in the Platinum Honors tier. Whether you're using a card or cash, taking a road trip, or flying to see the big game in person, Preferred Rewards has you covered.
For more, visit bankofamerica.com/preferred rewards.
Amani Alagbala is here from Soul Fire Farm, website soulfirefarm.org. We're talking about racism. We've talked about it in terms of the farmer. We haven't talked about it in terms of who eats what, which is a whole different can of worms.
Mm-hmm.
But the business I was getting to is how everybody is sort of being neglected that's on the lower end of the spectrum here. And we're talking about blacks and whites, but there's a lot of Latino. The comparison, let me go back a little bit to what I remember earlier on the farm. Before there were lots of Hispanic workers on the farm, there were a lot of black workers on the farm. And in some cases, in some situations in America, they had a way to buy their way in or to get a share of what was going on. Now, we see a lot of, especially in the Southwest, but it's happening all over the country. Instead of the black workers that were doing it, now it's Hispanic workers who are doing the same thing. And I guess I'm wondering off the top of my head how many farms are owned and operated by Latinos, not just operated by, because I think that has been something, another bugaboo in all of this. It's really very interesting, and I don't know that we would have thought about this had you not brought it to our attention. It's kind of a caste system. But one of the real problems, Amani, in getting justice is the financial reality of what goes on the farm. There have been laws that have been passed to give the worker better money opportunities, better benefits, working conditions, that sort of thing. But in the face of the competition that exists today, the reality is that more farmers will be put out of business, whether they're black or white, if you follow all of the regulations that have been thrown at farmers by the government. The government is not our friend. And I'm, you know, maybe you think there are programs you can get justice, but maybe you're figuring it out that the government isn't your friend and you got to work through other sources. Have you come to that conclusion?
What conclusion is that? I'm sorry.
That the government's not your friend. The government
is not.
The government's not helping you.
I'm like, yeah, what's the next act, obviously. Yeah, definitely. And as we continue to, like, learn about our history, it just becomes so clear. I think so. And I think folks just, like, need to continue to see each other as, like, the allies that we need. And
yes.
We're definitely going to advocate for each other.
Yep.
Because, yeah, there's a larger agenda that doesn't care about us. So,
you know, one of the things that I was hoping for, or maybe the suggestions here, you've probably looked at this as well, is training young black farmers, people who are coming along, a lot of young kids that didn't grow up on the farm, whether they be black or white or whatever. The problem with me is I don't like race as the focus, because I think there are a lot of problems that it's important for you. I get it. But in terms of what's fair, the thing that bothers me is there is so much of this sort of racism, but there's an ageism, there's an educational quotient, there's all kinds of prejudices. And what would be so much better is if we all learned, you know, I think that farmers today, my farm, I've got an opportunity for people to come in, no matter what their background, to learn about cows and to learn about growing. I'm going to be growing hemp and cannabis on my farm, and I want to teach people how to do that. We need workers to do it, and there are great opportunities here. If you look around the country as we vary agriculture, and it bothers me that people of color are separated out. I think there's a lot of prejudice toward a lot of different people, and wouldn't it be wonderful, maybe in the best of all worlds, if we didn't have to look at people in the color of their skin? It bothers me, frankly.
Yeah, I think everybody would love that, right? But actually, I think it's fine to look at, like, the color of skin if we're going to be appreciating all of the variety and diversity. That's the whole point, right? Like, not monoculture, not monocropping. Like, diversity of soil is so important, and diversity of crops and diversity of people. I really think that, yeah, we have a racist past of this country.
Yeah.
And unless we actually address it, we're not going to be able to, like, move forward. And so, yeah,
wow.
I agree with you completely. It would be wonderful if we didn't have to look at those things. But inevitably, you know, like,
well,
you were,
I guess,
earlier,
the point I'm making is that there's strength in numbers, and there's so much fractionalizing of farmers today. I wouldn't want you to be not wasting your time, because I don't think you are. But I think that if we get a lot of different groups together and work on these same problems, because they do exist, it would help everybody. That's just my two cents. But I know you're doing a lot of work here. Websites, soulfirefarm.org. There are several resources, including if you go to the website there, Take Action and Get Involved sections. There's a book called Farming While Black that is fabulous. Check that out. Amani, thanks for your expertise. Amani Al-Agbala, here on The American Family Farmer.
Hey, Greg, I'm so sorry to hear about your brother's heart attack.
Thanks. He's okay now, but it really got me thinking about my family. You know, could my wife still pay our mortgage if I had a heart problem? Or could my kids still go to college?
Man, that is really scary. Yeah, you should call my life insurance agent at Health IQ. When I got life insurance for my family last year, they saved me 41% versus any other company I looked at.
41%? That's huge.
Yep. Health IQ starts by shopping everyone with the top 30 life insurance carriers to make sure they can get the lowest retail rate. Then they apply their exclusive healthy lifestyle savings, which can save you up to 41%. I literally got $1 million in coverage for my family for just $36 a month.
Just $36 a month?
Yep. You should check it out at healthiq.com/easy.
To save that much money, I'm going to call them right now. What's that link again? Healthiq.com/easy?
Yep. Healthiq.com/easy.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo.
Rembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Hi, Saver. Walgreens here. We like the way you save. Take coffee. You know it doesn't have to cost $4 a cup, so you make your own. And co-pays on Medicare Part D. You save up to $5 and get 100 balance rewards points on each prescription when Walgreens is your preferred pharmacy. Save smartly on Med D. Walgreens. Trusted since 1901. Co-pay savings on Tier 1 generic drugs available through select plans that include Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy. Points cannot be earned in Arkansas, New Jersey, or New York. Complete details at walgreens.com/balance.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
This is George Dory from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
It's harvest time in this little town. Time to bring it on in. Pay the loans down. Fill our diesel tank up. Make another round.
This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen. The podcast of this program, I want to kind of couple of program notes here. The whole program you can listen to at AmericanFamilyFarmersShow.com anytime it's on. You can listen to the whole program, or as we go through the week, we edit a podcast of the important aspects. So a lot of times there are things in the podcast, for example, this lady that's on with us today, there may be some things you hear in the podcast you didn't hear in the regular broadcast. They become a part of more information that is available by listening to the podcast. All of the podcasts and regular hours are at AmericanFamilyFarmersShow.com. And then, of course, the radio stations that carry this program all around the country, thanks to them for getting the word out. And my focus and my comment here this week has to do with the more money. Talking about justice, this lady that was just on, this is the most unjust. This is so outrageous. What's happening to money that's coming from federal programs like the bailouts and all of this stuff with the trade wars? People that are getting these checks, they don't milk cows. They don't plant corn. There are 900, I'm going to take one city as an example, okay? This will really get your water boiling or your blood boiling. 900 Philadelphians who have collected federal farm subsidies totaling almost $4 million. 900 people live in Philadelphia. They're residents. They live in Center City. They live in Chestnut Hill. They live in Media. They don't live out on the farm, but yet they receive annual checks based on nothing more than their family connections to farms in states from whether it's the rest of Pennsylvania, when you look around some of the other states around the country. And this is, there was an article in the Philadelphia Inquirer that I got a hold of, the analysis of the U.S. Department of Agriculture data. And this is not just in this administration, although this administration has been damnably outrageous about where the money went. But there are other, if you go back 20, 25 years, the data that I'm looking at here looks at transparency. And so if you go back to after the Dust Bowl, during the FDR first years when there were all kinds of subsidies, maybe most of you don't go back, but maybe you've read about it or you've heard about it from other members in your family. Subsidies were paid to growers to offset agricultural cost and risk after the Depression and the Dust Bowl. One arcane aspect of this program is that money had been funneled to children, to cousins, to nieces, other relatives that were on the farm at the time, but they aren't now. So why the hell is this law still in effect? Why are these people that are getting these checks the fact that Trump was touting, we've got another round of billions of dollars going to our fine family farmers? Baloney. It's not going to the family farmers. It's going to these boobs and their families who have no more connection to the farm than I have to fly into the moon. Nobody connected to a cabbage patch or a pig pen. They're actively engaged in farming, really. Well, they're actively engaged in farming because they've invested through hedge funds. Their spouses aren't engaged, but yet, because the law reads the way it does, they're eligible for subsidies. A city resident could claim that he's helping to manage a farm run by his brother in Iowa, and that's what's happened, and they get this money. And so you discuss the guy in Philadelphia calls his brother in Iowa, discusses the operation on a 5-minute call. So, I mean, he's never put his butt into a tractor. It's just, it's unconscionable. It's not fair to the taxpayer. It's not fair to the farmer. These strings that are attached to getting government farm subsidies. I could no more do this and you couldn't either. But the connections that people have, here's a guy that lives in Bella Vista, and the zip code is 19147, which is a very upscale part of Philadelphia. He's gotten $500,000 in government subsidies since 1999. Can you imagine? 74 years old. There's another guy that's gotten $201,000 in subsidies from corn, sorghum, and oat crops grown on land that he owns, but he doesn't farm it. Why the hell isn't the farmer getting this money? Not this guy, just because he owns it. What an outrage. All right, food for thought. I'm giving it to you straight from the shoulder. I'm Doug Steffen on this week's American Family Farmer Show.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
As you know, I'm one of the doctors that Don talks about, because 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. Runs in my family on my mother's side. You know, I come from an athletic background. You know, I did a lot of running throughout my life, and I did triathlons. When I was trying to run some years back, I was getting short of breath, which is a little bit of a congestive heart failure. The Extendivite, that shortness of breath and that coughing started going away, and I was able to run longer and longer distances. And it took a while, though. So now I'm able to do, you know, 3.5 miles with my dog, then no problem. I don't stop. Not anymore. So I'm just saying, you need to stick with the program, and you've got to change some lifestyle things, too.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.